Welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where little white ball is life. I'm your host, Scotty T, and we have a very special episode for you today. We have an interview with Jackson Hazel. Jackson is a professional golfer who lives in St. Simons Island, Georgia. Jackson has played on PGA Tour Latin America, as well as some mini tours down in that area. And T-Bone and I sat down and talked with Jackson. We actually talked before the Players' Championship. And so when I was down at the Players last week, Jackson and I went there on Sunday. So we got to see that final round finish together. We had a blast out there. But T-Bone and I had a really great conversation with Jackson. Jackson talks about how his career progression has been, how he got in the golf, and how he ended up at Baylor. And he shared some great stories about life on the mini tours and on Latin America. Tells a great one about how he was playing in the tournament in Buenos Aires. So before we get to the interview, check us out on social media at 3UnderParPod. That is the number 3UnderParPod on Twitter and Instagram. You can DM us there. And wherever you're listening to this, please subscribe, write us a review, and give us a 5-star rating. But most importantly, tell a friend about the podcast. All right, here it is, our interview with Jackson. And remember, little white ball is life. We are joined now by a very special guest. We have a PGA Tour Latin America player, Mr. Jackson Hazel, is on the line with us. Jackson, how's it going?
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Man, doing pretty good. Just finished up watching some golf and playing golf myself, or at least trying to. Probably don't play as well as you do, but we had a good time out there.
Yeah, getting Sunday well spent.
Exactly. Well, we wanted to have Jackson on. Jackson is originally from Atlanta, and then for college made his way down to Baylor as well, so he's a fellow Baylor Bear. And he's now over in South Carolina, right? In South Carolina or Georgia?
Yeah, it's Georgia. It's the coast of Georgia, St. Simons Island.
Yep. Over in Georgia, playing golf, a little mini tours, as well as PGA Tour Latin America. So, Jackson, thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
All right. So, Jackson, really just kind of want to start from the beginning, man. How did you get into golf, or who exposed you to the game?
Yeah, man. So I kind of guess I was a late bloomer, as they say, relative to some people who started the whole competitive golf thing. I didn't play my first competitive event until I was probably about 14 or 15. I played high school basketball, football, baseball, and so I was playing other sports. And I always played golf during the summer, just with my dad. We had a beach house in South Carolina, and so we'd go down there when I was younger, and I'd do golf camps and stuff, but never got serious about it until I kind of got injured in football and kind of weeded off football and decided to pick up golf competitively and, save some injuries, some broken bones and concussions from football. So I just picked up golf and about 15, played some competitive events, started to have some success, and just kind of ran from there. Stuck with basketball throughout high school, so it didn't interfere with much of my golf schedule, but
I was about to say, Jackson's a pretty tall guy, so that doesn't surprise me that basketball
I had to use the height for something,
for sure.
Well, it sounds like you made the right choice. In the past on this podcast, I've shit on people playing football over golf, so... Yeah. I guess I just got to kind of throw that out there. But, yeah, I think, as always, golf sounds like it was the right decision, especially for you.
Yeah, it was a funny conversation walking into the football coach at 6'5" and saying, hey, I'm going to quit football to play golf. He was a little concerned. My size would be quitting football for golf. But it paid off, I guess.
What's that? I think there's a legendary story. It's like Jim – I think it involves Jim Furyk. He was playing high school sports, and – I think it was either baseball or basketball, goes up to his coach, kind of same thing. It was like, hey, I'm going to quit to play golf full time. And everybody knows Jim Furyk's swing, legendary, just terrible looking, frankly. But, man, I mean, he's a major championship winner, shot below 60, Mr. 59. Like, it's hard to argue that he made the right call.
Yeah, Jim Furyk's doing just fine for himself.
Absolutely. Wish we would have run the Ryder Cup, though. That's my only knock on Furyk.
Take them all.
Yeah, that's all right. So coming from Atlanta, how did you end up at Baylor?
Yeah, man, I was late to the game, so the recruiting was hard. I hadn't played any of the AJGAs, which is kind of how you get recruited for college golf. And So I kind of had to go the alternate route and do all the Monday. They're like the AJGA qualifiers for all the tournaments. So I was just going anywhere. I was going anywhere, man. I'd go anywhere and everywhere, anywhere that didn't take like a lot of stars to get into. Because that's how you had to get into the tournaments, is go use your stars. And if you didn't have enough stars, you go play the qualifiers. So for me, I guess my kind of thing, I did the AJGA qualifiers and I played six qualifiers, and I qualified for all six of the ones I tried.
Nice.
And so that was kind of my big recruiting pitch to the coaches. You know, I just kind of the one day qualifier things, and I just kind of showed up and was able to play well on the spot everywhere I went. So eventually on Monday, I qualified for the event in at Fair Oaks Ranch in San Antonio, the AJGA, down there in San Antonio, and played that one, and I played well, and that was just kind of my best finish. And Coach Priest was there for Baylor, and started getting some interest from Baylor, from Texas schools. And when it came down to it, I guess my only offers were Baylor, Michigan, Appalachian State, and Miami, Ohio. So when it came to weather, I guess it was a no-brainer to go out to Texas versus Michigan and Ohio to play golf.
Yeah, no doubt. You can play golf all year round down here.
Yeah. It was a little bit of a leap of faith. You know, I'd really never really – I had an aunt that lived in Austin briefly, but I'd never really spent much time in Texas. But I loved it, man. I'm a diehard Baylor Bear. I'm keep up with all their sports, even all the way here on the East Coast.
Sick 'em. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I never had – you know, there was a coaching change that happened when you were in school there. And then really the legendary Coach Mike McGraw came in. What was that like playing for him?
Man, it was cool. I don't think I would probably be playing professionally if McGraw hadn't come in. It was wild to have a coaching change like that. You know, after just 1 year, got recruited by Priest and then he was gone. So it's kind of a lot of uncertainty. You don't really know. You know, you finally, as a goal to play college golf at the D1 level, and you get there, and then next thing you know, you don't know if you're going to be able to be on the team the next year because you got a new coach coming in. And, you know, he doesn't have to keep you around if, you know, he didn't recruit you kind of. So it was cool because he came in and first semester he was there, I didn't play well. And he was like, Jackson, you know, you seem like a good guy, but when I recruit you, like, you got to get your numbers up, or we're going to have to kind of look for other options. That was my fall of my sophomore year. And so that was kind of a shock. It was like, you know, I got to bear down, or else I'm not going to, you know, be here playing golf anymore, which, you know, I love to do, I know. So he kind of said, step up your game and like start taking it seriously. And he said he's going to recruit guys who want to play the professionally after school, because he thinks that's the kind of mentality you have to be a really successful college player. And I respected that and completely agreed. So I kind of had to adopt that mentality. And it helped me, and I did. I was able to do that and got my scoring average down and became competitive on the team. And so that was cool. So McGraw helped me a bunch, and, you know, I just kept learning from him year after year, and he was awesome.
Yeah. Now that's great to hear. I mean, he's obviously got the Baylor program headed in the right direction, had fantastic success at Oklahoma State, and then won a national championship in Alabama as well. So the Baylor Bears are definitely lucky to have Coach McGraw there. So when did you turn professional? What year was that?
Yeah, so I started my first professional move in June of 2017. So I got done May of 2017 at Baylor,
pretty much right after.
I might as well try and, yeah, let's, you know, I didn't want to keep playing amateur golf, because I thought if I'm going to play some good golf, I might as well get paid for it. it was cool. I've loved it, man. I've gotten, I love getting to do it. I've loved every single day, you know, waking up and pursuing the dream, chasing the dream, and, you know, just trying to get a little better every single day here and there.
Yeah, well, you slowly started answering the question I was about to ask. What's the journey been like, man? You know, we've had a few mini tour guys on the podcast so far, and they've shared with us some stories about just the grind of traveling overnight, trying to make to tournaments or Monday qualifiers or whatever it is. What's that journey been like from you, especially since you spent some time on the Latin America tour, where that involves a little bit more travel than some of the other tours?
Yeah, man, it's been cool. It's been awesome. I think that, you know, going out to Latin America, if you can do it out there, you can do it anywhere. If you can go out there and you can play well on that tour, having to balance, you know, long flights, currency exchange once you get to the airport, obviously language barrier, you know, dealing with food and just the whole culture thing. You know, if you can do it out there, you can probably play well just about anywhere. So it's been fun. It's an individual sport. You kind of learn a lot about yourself going on the road and traveling from major events, and especially going to Latin America and overseas. But it's a blast. With Latin America, we kind of just grab a couple other Americans, guys, you know, and just travel together and, you know, split an Airbnb or VRBO and just kind of dive into the mix, figure it out together along the way. It kind of helps a little bit to have some other guys there just going through it with you. So
for sure. Who are some of the guys you like to travel with?
Yeah, so my buddy, one of my good buddies I met when I started playing professional, is a guy named Bo Hayes. He lives in Gadsden, Alabama, which is outside of Birmingham. He's a really solid player, and he just is a grinder, kind of like me. Works hard at it, and so once we kind of met and started playing together, we just both got our cards in Latin America at the same Q school site in Bogota last year, and so we had a good week there, and we just kind of ended up traveling together for the year. So traveled with him and a guy named Cody O'Toole, another dude from Birmingham. So we just got a couple of Southern boys together, and we just went to South America and figured it out along the way, you know.
Yeah, no, that I didn't realize. When you mentioned currency exchange, me and T-Bone just kind of looked at each other, like, huh, wouldn't have thought about that. Kind of, you know, because not only American to, you know, Mexico or whatever the tournament is that week, but all the countries have different currencies, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got like the Colombian peso, Argentinian peso. Yeah, you got to exchange your money kind of when you get to the airport. It's first thing you do if you can.
That's wild.
Buy a cab and then try to cram your golf clubs in this tiny, you know, Latin American cab and drive to the Airbnb. And it's just a mess, man. I mean, it's fun, but there's so much more that goes into a tournament week than just, you know, teeing it up and playing 72 holes of golf.
Right. Have you ever like lost your clubs mid plane flight or anything happened with airlines?
I haven't lost my clubs, but I mean, this is the best break. I tell you all this. This is the best story of the past year. One of the best.
Awesome.
So, this is it's pretty great. So I'm playing. So I get conditional status right in Latin America. It's for my first year out, and it was good for me. I went to my first key school, and you know, I didn't go to. I mean, I went to Web Key this year, but thought I'd try one of the smaller tours key school first because key schools are long weeks. You know, you're playing two or three practice rounds. You're there for a full 7 to 8 days, and they're just a grind mentally because you know, you're playing for status for the whole year, and so they're just kind of big weeks. So it's good to go try key school and get through in Latin America. But I finished 20th, and the way the Q school works, if you finish top 10, you get full status, which means you're guaranteed starts. But after top 10, like from 11 to 35 is only conditional status. So depending on how you rank 11 through 35, you only get a certain amount of starts. You might not be guaranteed to play every week. So I finished 20th in Q school, so I have conditional status. So didn't really know what that meant. This was my first Q school, and I'm kind of learning the ropes. And so I'm getting all these calls, and like I'm signing up for the tournaments. So it says I'm like number 150 out of 144, so it looks like I'm not going to get in. But then come Tuesday, I get the call from the tournament director, or Wednesday or Monday, and they'd be like, "Hey Jeff, you know, you're in the event now. Some guys dropped out. Are you going to be able to make it to, you know, Cordoba, Argentina, or you know, Mexico City, or Jamaica?" And you know, I'm sitting here in St. Simon's. I'm like, "No, I can't make it." But that's a big deal when you're conditional to not get a start. If you're going to make a cut with conditional status, it'll improve your status for the year. So anyways, that happens once or twice in the first couple of events. I mean, I'm getting the call on Tuesday. I'm like, "Well, damn, I'm missing a start. Like, that's unfortunate." And finally, I get a third call, and they say, "No, Jackson, can you make it?" And I say, "Screw it. Like, I got to try to get down there and play because I need to improve my status." But at the time, it's Tuesday night. I'm in Columbia, South Carolina, playing a mini tour event on the G Pro Tour. And I've just played my first round. Get the call at like 5 o'clock Tuesday night, and the tournament director's like, "Jackson, can you make it to Buenos Aires by Thursday to start the tournament?" And I say, "You know, honestly, I'm going to see if there's a way because I need to get a start." So sure enough, there's a flight on a Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. at Hartsfield Jackson. I'm in Columbia, South Carolina. So I call my mom, who's, shout out to her, she's the best travel agent around. And she hooks me up on that flight, and I drive from Columbia, South Carolina, 4 hours back to Atlanta. I live in Atlanta, fortunately, so I get home about midnight, catch about 3 hours of sleep, leave for the Atlanta airport about 4:30, 5 a.m., get to the airport on my flight by 7 a.m. This is now Wednesday morning. Fly from Atlanta to Miami, Miami to Guatemala City, Guatemala City to Panama City, Panama City to Buenos Aires. I get into Buenos Aires Wednesday night, 3 o'clock in the morning, get off the plane, currency exchange takes 2 hours. Exchange my money, hop in a taxi. I'm at my hotel at 6 o'clock in the morning. This is now in Buenos Aires. I get 30 minutes of sleep and go to the course where I had a tee time at 8:30 that same morning. Never seen the course. Didn't have a caddy. Show up, like, just absolute adrenaline rush. Like, you haven't slept much. It was just a mess. And teed up that morning for the tournament that week in Buenos Aires.
Wow.
That's a heck of a travel day there.
Yeah, no kidding. How'd you play that week?
Yeah, I shot 78 for a song. I missed that. And nothing came of it. So I was like, great, you know. But you never know. I mean, like, I was going over there. I'm like, God, I'm playing good golf. Like, I can usually go up there and, you know, accidentally shoot even par two over for a couple over for 2 days and make a cut, and that's all I needed. And then maybe have a good weekend. So, you know, you just got to be an eternal optimist when you're doing this for a living. So all it takes is 1 week, you know.
Right. I think I saw a story a couple of weeks ago of Charlie Saxon showed up, kind of the same thing, showed up just like a few hours in the country before he's supposed to tee off, and then finished up like T18 or close to top 10, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you hear stories about that pretty regularly, honestly. It's crazy. Yeah. I think mine was a little more extreme than most weeks because I flew, you know, 11 hours the last minute. But, yeah, we're out here. We're all just – there's so many guys doing this. You know, there's so many guys who are such good players. And, you know, all we need is a couple good breaks. And, you know, golf's kind of a game of fortune sometimes too. So you just get a couple good kicks and have a good week, and it changes a lot. So
yeah.
We're just all looking for that lightning in a bottle, you know.
Absolutely. I think of – when I hear that story, I think the original – kind of version of that story that everyone thinks of is John Daly driving through the night being like a six alternate for the PGA Championship.
Yeah.
And just ended up
and
winning.
Won.
Yeah, and won.
And then wins it. Yeah. How about that?
But
yeah,
as bad as that was, he wasn't flying to other countries and exchanging currencies. So
he was playing for a little bigger bucks too.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. You know, Jackson, you've mentioned, you know, we've stayed in touch since we've graduated Baylor. You're telling me about the golf community that you live in, St. Simons. Yeah. Tell me about that, because that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great spot, man. If you would have asked me, you know, when I was growing up in Atlanta, you know, if I would like to be 24 and, you know, living at Sea Island or St. Simons and playing my golf at a Sea Island, I mean, it's any kind of Georgia Southern golfer's dream come true. I mean, this place is golf heaven. So they have it's kind of weird. I got hooked up down here. I graduated and started playing professionally in Atlanta my first couple months out of school, and I ran into another pro there named David Van Horn. Shout out my man DVH. He's my roommate down here, and he's a hoot. Y'all, honestly, y'all need to get him on the podcast next. He will crack you up. He's one of a kind. He's one of my best friends down here. He plays professionally. His dad's actually the founder of US Kids Golf.
That
makes the clubs and does the junior tournaments. Yeah, his dad's awesome, and they've done a great job running that company. But David plays professionally, and so he's been playing out of Atlanta for a couple of years when I first got done at school, and I met him, and he's like, hey, I've done the thing in Atlanta here. It's not a great place to play. Like, I'm gonna move down to St. Simons and play out of there. Like, you want to come be my roommate? I'm gonna get a house and stuff. And, you know, you can't turn that down. And so I kind of presented that to my investors, the guys, my dad, and, you know, some of the guys who give me money to fund my career. And kind of looked at it like, hey, I'm going to go surround myself by some of the best players in the area, learn from them. I think it'll be a good investment of my time and money to be down there instead of living at home and playing out of Atlanta. And it has been. I've learned so much from these guys. We have an awesome crew down here. It's like, I'd say, I mean, the bigger names on PGA Tour, you got Davis Love and his family kind of started what is Sea Island, or kind of turned Sea Island into the golf little mecca that it is. And then we got guys like Patton Kizzire, JT Poston, Keith Mitchell, who just won this past week, and I think he had another good week this week, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Josh Teeter, Joey Garber, those are probably the PGA Tour players that think of. Oh, Jonathan Bird, Zach Johnson, Zach Johnson and Matt Kuchar live down here too. They play over at Frederica, so we don't see them at Sea Island as much. So those are kind of the PGA Tour players. But then you got guys like me too, who have, you know, Latin status, Canadian status. So there are probably 30 or 40 of us down here, man. And it's a great place to hone your game. You know, you go out to the course every day. Sea Island's an awesome resort in the fact that it's got three courses down here. So there's always kind of, if you want to go work on your game on the course or something, you know, you can always find a place to tee off. And there's also just, you know, you go out to the range and the facilities day in and day out, and you see other guys, you know, working on their wedges or, you know, having very structured practice. So you see other guys working, and it's a work environment, so it motivates you to do the same. You know, we're all getting in there, and we're getting in the gym together, and then we're going out and playing money games together, and it keeps you sharp. You know, it's good to expose yourself to some other players. So I've loved it, and I've gotten tons better from being down there.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, it's that community sounds amazing. Amazing. How's Charles Neal doing down there?
Yeah, that's right. I can't forget about my buddy Charles Neal White. He's doing well. He's, you know, he's such a little grinder. He'll hit a three buckets of balls a day if you let him. I have to hold him accountable to get him off the range because he's just grinding so hard. I got to take him to the course, but he's great, man. He's loving being down here. It's fun that he's down here with us. He's gotten tons better. His game is really solid. That dude's going to qualify for a web event sometime this year. You heard it here first. He's
Man,
very
breaking
solid.
news.
Yeah. Now you guys should get him to come talk. He's probably got some good Austin. He's a good old Austin, Texas boy.
Yeah. We'll definitely try to get I call him Chuck, just from the
Chuck
back in the
day.
Yeah, we'll try to get Chuck on. Man, so what are some crazy stories, man? Like, with all the traveling, you mentioned that wild story going to Buenos Aires. Like, what are some other stuff that maybe our listeners will find entertaining?
Oh, man.
Where to begin, right?
Where to begin? So when I think of my first ever professional golf tournament was a Monday qualifier. And this was, so I kind of started, I learned the hard way in a sense. I did it kind of dumb my first year on tour. So the whole golf, for mini tour golf thing is at this level, I kind of equate it. You got the mini tours, I'd say, are like single A baseball. And then you got the Canadian tour, Latin American tour, PGA Tour China. Those, what I'd say, are like double A baseball. And then like the web tour is triple A, where you play well on the web, you get to the major leagues. So that's kind of when I'm explaining to people how my job works, how I equate it.
Yeah, that's very easily broken down. I like that.
Yeah. And so my first ever professional event was a Web Monday qualifier in Kansas City. And I'm nervous or whatever. And so, you know, I was going, and if you didn't qualify for a web event, there's like an Adams Tour event, which is a mini tour around the area. So I've flown out there and I'm playing. And the guys in my group, we all shoot like two or three over on the front nine. And the guys, you know, we know on those, you got to shoot 64, 65, 60, you know, 63 to make it. It's like 200 guys for four spots at two different
Golly.
Sites. So it's a crapshoot. And so we both kind of played poorly, but, you know, my first event, I'm like, you know, I'm going to stay in it and grind it out, you know, grind out my 71 or whatever. And the guy on the 10th tee, we turn it to each other. He looks at me, and they're doing the group because I play y'all for 100 the hole in the back nine.
Okay.
I was like, wait, what's up? I was like, no, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm just dude out here trying to just like make his money back. He knows he's just spent $500 playing this Monday qualifier. And he's like, I'm going to gamble my way back into this, you know, mid tournament round. And so I'm just like, goodness gracious, this pro golf life is, what am I getting myself into? Like, it's just a bunch of guys chasing dollars out here if you can't make it, you know, that week or whatever.
Dude.
So that was my welcome to pro golf. I was like, wow, here we go.
Right. So, man, that's wild. What are some of your favorite money games? I was playing a little bit earlier today and just went with my roommate. And, you know, of course, we throw a few bucks down there, but we're not playing 100 a hole or anything like that. But is there like 10 bucks for the front, 10 for the back? What are some of your favorite games?
Yeah, we play. I mean, I love a good hammer game. Do y'all play hammer?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, nothing better than a good hammer game because you got to play with some close friends, though, or else, you know, people can get very offended very quickly when, you know, you're hammering, throwing the hammer with a four-footer and they miss it or something. yeah, that can always, that attention's pretty high. But
yeah, honestly.
We play a little hammer.
For me, it's been a while since I've played Wolfhammer, though, because at least some of the guys I play with, it's harder to match up where and when to give shots and
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. But yeah, Wolfhammer, that's a great game.
Yeah, we'll go there. We'll do, you know, 5-5-5, 10-10-10, you know, 5-front, 5-back, 10-18, something like that. We like to, you know, obviously, you know, we always play making birdies. You make, you know, rewarding birdies, winning 5 or 10 bucks. Start a new game called Wads, which is kind of fun, where you will throw a wad is where if you make a putt longer than the flag length at any time on the, it has to be your first putt on the green at any time, then you have the wad and everyone in the group owes you whatever the wad's at, and it doubles every time the wad exchanges hands. So you get a group of good players making some long putts. That'll be kind of fun. You can kind of cash in on that if you have the wad at the end of the day.
That's kind of the opposite of the snake.
Opposite of snake, yeah. You know, it's the first incentivized making putts version of snakes. So we'll throw that around a little bit.
Yeah. No, that's sick. I like that a lot. So Jackson, with the season that's upcoming, you know, we got PGA Tour Latin America that's coming up. What's your plan for this year?
Yeah, I'm got PGA Tour Canada Q School in April, third week of April down in Jacksonville, Florida at TPC Sawgrass on the Valley course there. So that's just down the road from me, about an hour and a half. So I'm stoked about that. I'll try to go there and play nicely and get some status for the year out in Canada. And then, you know, if you play well in Canada, you finish top 10 on that money list, you can get some web status. So, you know, it's good. I think my goal for the year to get out and play a lot of four-day tournaments, you know, get used to making cuts. I think the knock on the mini tour events is you don't find a lot of four-day events. You know, you're playing a lot of three-day events, and you can make money. But you know, it's a different vibe when you're playing 4-day events. You can get used to making a cut, and it's just longer weeks. And so I'm looking to get some Canadian status and just get used to going out there and just, you know, playing full schedules.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. I didn't realize most mini tour events were 3 days, because you're right, there's a big difference between playing 3-day events versus 4-day events. I've only played a handful of 4-day events, but even in junior golf, when you're most junior golf are 2-day events, when you play and hit those few that are 3 days, like the Southern Junior or tournaments like that, it really kind of throws you off for a loop at first, at least.
Yeah, it's a long week. I mean, it's just a long mentally draining kind of week. And you know, you're out, you're on the road, you're staying in hotels, you're staying in Airbnbs, so, you know, it's long weeks, a lot of time by yourself, a lot of Netflix, you know, stuff in between, because you're only on the golf course for so long. So,
what are some of your favorite Netflix shows?
I would say I watch White Collar. Y'all ever gotten that one with Neil
Oh,
Caffrey?
I did for a little bit, yeah, with my roommate in Dallas.
White Collar. Yeah. You know, Suits. I don't know if Suits is on Netflix, but Suits is pretty good. You know, stuff like that. I'm kind of into the murder mystery, the crime, you know, pensive kind of stuff, thought-provoking stuff. But you know, balance it out with The Office. You know, just binge that at any time.
Of course.
Always. Yep.
Mindless activities. You know, we're out there focusing and grinding mentally so hard in these events. You know, whenever I'm off the course between tournament rounds, man, I don't want to be thinking about golf. I'll put in my hours and I'll make sure I'm prepared, but when I'm off the course, I try to get my mind off golf. That's one thing I've learned from professional, you know, thinking about it now and hearing myself say that, man, when I first got up here as a professional, you know, you're like, all right, I got all I'm my job is to play golf. I'm gonna work out, you know, all work out morning, practice all day, you know, just grind, grind, grind. And you learn within the first couple months playing professionally. And you try to do that for a full career, you'll go white, grow some white hairs, a little gray hairs a little earlier than you'd like. So keeping balance is good, man.
Yeah, that's so interesting you say that. I heard you say earlier, in the community you're in, it's a work community, a work environment. I thought that was great, a great analogy, especially for our listeners. Most people are working, and for us, just as average golfers and as average fans, whenever we take vacations, it's to go play golf, you know, to go to abandoned dunes or Pebble Beach or some golf community of some sort. But that's not necessarily what your time off looks like, right? You want to be away from the game.
Keeping balance, man. Keeping balance between the years.
Yeah,
I can't.
so I guess with that being said, what do you like to do off the course? I mean, you mentioned Netflix a lot. Like, what's kind of one of your escapes?
Yeah, I've got a good group of friends down here on the island. I think living here at the beach is nice. Like today, I didn't practice it actually. You know, it was like seven. It was 75 degrees here today, and I just kind of went to the beach because I knew that the weather's gonna get all week. I mean, come Monday, I'm just like in, you know, more normal work week. You know, I kind of sometimes take Sunday or Saturday to have like a half day or, you know, full day off. Maybe not every week, but on a day like today, you just kind of go to the beach, kick your feet up, hang out, read a book, you know, non-golf related book, something like that. I'm easy
Yes,
going, man.
yeah,
I really
soft flex of going to the beach.
Yeah, I'm not trying to brag. I've got a pretty good spot down here. But I like the easy going lifestyle. You know, the coastal lifestyle is nice. Keeps me even keel down here. But no, I mean, I would say I guess my second kind of passion would be maybe fitness. Or, you know, I've kind of gotten into the sports or golf fitness kind of thing. So, and I spend a lot of time in the gym, not just for to work on my golf, but just out of my interest in it. You know, the way the body moves, and especially with the sport playing golf, you know, there's a lot to be learned in the golf kind of fitness industry. It's become so prevalent, I feel like. So
Yeah, it definitely has.
my
We
couple.
had the Fit Golfer Girl on. I guess
Yeah,
that was
I saw that. I
just
don't know
over a
how
month
that.
ago now. Yeah, that was a really good interview.
Yeah, that was. I mean, I bet she was insightful.
Very much so.
Activating the glutes. We talked a lot about that.
Activating the
So,
glute.
yeah,
I
that's
know
good
that's all
stuff.
Scott. I know Scott. I've seen Scott swing. He gets the glutes pretty activated. Just moved it.
Yeah, I do. Oh man, awesome. All right, hey Jackson, so we got a couple of rapid fire questions for you.
Right, hit
You
me.
ready? We're putting you on the spot. We haven't prepped you or anything for this, so what's your favorite club in your bag?
2 iron, man. I'm Tim Stinger. You know?
Wow, a 2 iron.
Let's go. Oh my gosh, yeah. You know, I'm trying to get on that Gary Woodland status one day. I don't plan on. I want to be just, you know, have an epic stinger on Shot Tracer. You know, that's one of the goals. You
I've
know,
always
that's
said I think
something.
Woodland and Ollie
Hold on.
Snatterjans have the best stingers.
Oh yeah, they're team. So I'm trying to get on Team Stinger.
Is it like one of those driving 2 irons?
Yeah, I got a tailor-made one, P790 or something. Being bigger and hitting it longer, it's one of my clubs that, man, if I get confident with that thing, I find a lot of fairways and I hit it pretty far. So
And then we see your
it
name at
gets
the
me out of
top of the
trouble.
leaderboard.
That's right. I keep it in the fairway and I'll be perfectly fine.
Awesome. How far does your stock 7 iron go?
185, let's say. Yeah, 185.
Okay. Hey, that's a little more than Jerry. Jerry was 184. So you
Yeah,
got him by
I
a
think
yard.
I might have listened to that and purposely said 185. So I'm gonna chirp Gary a little bit there. I mean, Yeti Ruiz.
Right.
He's a ball striker though. You can't dog Jerry. Jerry's been master ball striker since the day I met him.
Man, he really is. All right. What kind of music do you like to listen to whenever you're practicing or warming up?
I'm a pretty solid country guy. I won't be blasting any rap music, getting too jacked up. I just kind of play stuff to keep me focused on myself and kind of block out the ever prevalent pre-round thoughts. But yeah, I'm a country guy.
Love it. Down here in Houston right now, we've got the Houston Rodeo. What's going on? Big
Right, and that's
deal.
why I brought it up earlier. I was jealous. I wanted to get down there listening to music, throw my boots back on, getting back in my Texas.
Yeah, I would be happy to trade you some rodeo time for some beach time.
Yeah, you can make the trade. I need to get back to Texas, man. I miss y'all in Texas.
You're welcome to come back, especially down here in Houston. If you ever need a caddy, let me know.
Yeah, hey, don't feel like you don't mean it. I'm gonna give you a
Yeah.
client. I promise I won't give you the Kuchar, snip you with a 5 grand or whatever.
Oh,
Oh,
El
man.
Toucan, yeah. We've
Ouch.
had some good discussions about this, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, what
Yeah,
was
he's
your
been a bad
opinion on
rep.
that?
He's such a nice guy. The times I've run into him down here, it's tough that he got such a bad rep with that getting out or whatever. I feel bad for him that it came out and kind of clouded his image, I guess, a little bit. But you never know. The caddy could, he could have told the caddy, like, hey, I'm not going to need much help this week. Just kind of keep up, catch up, shut up kind of deal. And I'm sure the caddy was happy to see 5 grand at the end of the week until he found out, I guess, he could have gotten more. But you never know. You never know. The media makes the story what they want to, kind of makes it what they want it to do sometimes.
Right. Feel that. So what's your favorite room in your house? Like, where do you spend the most time?
We don't have a huge house down here, but with a new guy, we got a big couch, we got a solid couch set up in the living room. We'll hang out there.
Okay. I like that. What's an app on your phone that you've used the least?
Oh, app on my phone I've used the least.
We've had so Jerry said he hates the Maps app, just the Apple Maps. One guy said his Uber driver app. He's a mini tour guy.
Okay, I'll say I probably don't use
Don't say
I
your
don't use like
podcast app.
No, I definitely use podcast app. I think of y'all don't. I probably don't ever use that. Like the iWatch, the iFitness app. People are like, I don't, I'm big in the fitness and whatnot, but I don't ever track, my heart rate or my stats or anything like that. I see it on there, but I'm like, how accurate can this be? That, and then maybe the weather app. I've got this new, like, I've got a weather, I don't use the Apple weather app. I use some other ones. So
Okay.
I kind of throw that one to the side.
Let's say I think it was on Prime Day. I bought one of the Alexa ones, but the Dot, so smaller ones, and I put it in my
Yeah.
room, and then I just ask Alexa what the weather is for the day. So I'm with
Yeah.
you. I rarely use the weather
That's money.
app. So we're recording this, Jackson, before the players. I think we're going to be releasing this right after the players, after we get back. We're going to be hanging out down there. We're going to be seeing each other
Yeah.
on Sunday. Definitely looking forward to that. So who wins the players? We're
Man.
putting you on the spot. We don't know yet. And then once we release, we're going to know who the winner is. So you're going to look like a
You'll be
genius or
exposed.
I don't
Yeah.
know. But who you got?
I like Ricky. You can't, I saw him play a little bit today when I was watching some of the coverage, and he obviously has won there before. I like Ricky. I think it's a demanding course off the tee, the TPC Sawgrass is.
Very much so.
I think that Ricky is a pretty steady player off the tee. Not a bomber, but I feel like he always has pretty good control of his ball. I'd bet on Ricky. I'd probably show some love to some of my St. Simons guys down there, like Patton. Pat and Keith obviously been on a heat. I don't know if he could win again, but you know, confidence after battle, and you think you're playing well.
All right. Yeah. Hopefully those guys can keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who wins the Masters?
You know, this is funny. I'm just been out in Vegas. I was looking at Masters odds. I like Tony Finau. Tony Finau. Wow.
Whoa.
You know, top 10 last year on a messed up ankle. I like Finau.
That's true.
I wouldn't bet against Kuchar. Kuchar's got 2 wins this year. Always kind of makes has a decent record at the Masters. You know, it's one of those courses, older guys, because they know the course better. It's the same course every year. I think older guys, you know, still are very much in contention. So I wouldn't bet against Kuchar. But I'd say my favorite player is Koepka. I love Koepka and Jason Day. But if I had to bet Masters, I'd be looking at Finau and maybe Kuchar.
Okay. You know, people always forget that Brooks Koepka didn't play at the Masters last year. He had that wrist injury or something's going on, and he still won 2 majors last year. No big deal.
I mean, the dude's just dead. He's between the ears. He's about as strong as they come. And that guy just, every time he tees it up, he thinks he should win. I love his mentality. He's awesome. He's a beast.
For sure. All right, Jackson. Well, I think we're gonna wrap it up here pretty soon. Where can people follow you on Twitter, Instagram, and stay up to date with your progress as you work through the ranks up to the PGA Tour?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. I try to keep Instagram pretty current, posting stuff, you know, swing progressions, where I'm at, playing, results, stuff like that. So yeah, Instagram is just RJ Hazel, H-E-A-Z-E-L, like my last name. So that's kind of, you know, it's where I probably update my most stuff. And yeah, I'll be having a full summer, a full year of it. So I'm excited. I think there's some good things to come. My game's been getting better and better every year. I'm still young in my career, but I'm learning a lot. So hopefully being up there. Big tour is coming up here soon. You know, we need some more bears out there on tour. Help out KJ. He's getting lonely.
Yeah. Hey, he's doing pretty well, especially, you know, he's up at the Genesis playing with Rory and Spieth. I haven't talked to him yet, but I mean, that's got to be a great experience.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, it's awesome. Yeah, he keeps himself, but it's good to see him getting some TV time. We got to love that.
We'll get you and Jerry up on the pro tour here, and you got to get Charles Nail and then a few of the other guys who are about to graduate up there as well. Y'all will be there soon.
Yeah, I think we got some good Baylor Bears coming up through the ranks. I'm stoked to see Garrett May and Braden Bailey get out there and hit the pro circuit with us out here. So, the Baylor golf team, Baylor golf alumni, good hands, I think.
Absolutely. Love it, man. Love it. Well, Jackson, we really appreciate you coming on. It's been a blast. Atiba and I have really enjoyed talking and whatnot. We'll see you down at the Players next week. And
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll have to tear it up. But in the meantime, for our listenership, go follow Jackson. I can definitely tell you from a guy who's seen him play and whatnot in college to now, dude, Jackson, looks like your game has improved leaps and bounds. And so we're definitely rooting for you, man.
I appreciate it, guys. Love what y'all doing here. Keep it up. It's gonna finish up.
Will do. Hey, by the way, I'm still using your golf bag you let me use in college.
Is that right? I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that. Keep that thing in rotation.
Yeah, okay. It's still there. For those who I've played golf with, you know, the bag I used, that was Jackson's. That was this guy's.
That's right.
He was nice enough to let me use it. And it still works. It's on its last leg, though, but it's working.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Awesome. Hey, well, thanks a lot, Jackson.
All right, guys. Good sleeping. I'll talk to you soon.